League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tottenham Way podcast. I am Marcus Buckland in the company of Tom Allnutt of The Times and Danny Kilpatrick of The Evening Standard. And we've had, 30-odd hours to mull over what happened at Tamworth on Sunday afternoon. How was your Sunday? I thought it was going to be a lovely, lazy, early afternoon kickoff. Watch Spurs show due respect for 10 or 15 minutes, then score two or three goals. As Dan said in the last podcast, it should be all over by halftime. And goodness me, come the 89th minute, we're all hiding behind the sofa. Tamworth really should have scored. But as Anne said afterwards, as far as I'm aware, we're through to the fourth round, and that's what we came here to do. So there are different ways of looking at this one. Danny, it was probably a very nerve-wracking end to your holiday. Can you just sum up that Sunday nightmare, as it turned out to be?
What's with the Danny thing, Marcus?
I don't know.
I don't hate it. Well, let's go with it.
Listen, that's better than actually getting your name wrong. When we were just warming up here, I asked you when Pochettino was doing his press conference before the Arsenal game. I'm losing the plot, which I think is delayed shock after what happened on Sunday.
Yes, well, Sunday... Well, the last thing we said on the reaction pod after Liverpool game was this result will feel less significant, I think, if Spurs don't follow it up with another good result on Sunday. And they got the job done in the end, they did. And I kind of admire Postecoglou in a way, just trying to kind of bluff out that everything was absolutely fine and they came there to get into the next round and they'd done it and it was all okay and it was a game of football and all the rest of it. I quite like that approach, just acting as if Gabriel Clark on ITV was completely bonkers for sort of suggesting it might have been a difficult afternoon. But I think the bottom line was the kind of level of the performance and the way the game went, almost took the shine, or not took the shine, Spurs very nearly failed to follow up the Liverpool game and with a catastrophic result. And really, the performance was a failure to build on that. And it's frustrating because you kind of feel like momentum sort of slips a little bit when it should have only built going into the North London derby, which we'll come on to. So, it was a poor performance. And I think you could literally see from about an hour onwards Spurs realising that they were in danger of not winning the game in 90 minutes and increasing the intensity and going pretty close to winning it in normal time, although Tamworth had their chances as well. But by that point, it was kind of too late and the game had settled into a pattern and Tamworth had dug in and got confidence and Spurs were kind of, in a game and in a battle, really, which suited Tamworth. I thought the pitch was a real leveller. Like, it was a bad pitch. You could see a couple of times with Johnson and I think Porro in particular, them going to hit crosses and it just bubbled up in front of them and it skied out for a throw-in or something. And, that was a factor, I thought. But it shouldn't have been as big a factor as to kind of stop Spurs from winning the game comfortably in normal time. So, yeah, it was a poor performance. It kind of felt like the kind of performance we've seen from Spurs' second string side in the domestic cups many times over the last few years, albeit on this occasion it wasn't against a kind of League One or Championship club or a kind of slightly parochial European side in the Conference League or Europa League. It was against a non-league side who are part-timers. So, I suppose really should have played at a higher level. In the end, they got it done, as Postecoglou said, as we've said. But, the extra half an hour on the legs, again, not ideal ahead of Wednesday.
No, well, at least Arsenal had to play an extra half an hour as well. But it throws up all sorts of questions. I mean, on a positive note, I'm stretching this a bit, but it's back-to-back clean sheets for Spurs. But it's yet another performance away from home, Tom, where for whatever reason, they failed to impose themselves. And another question that I threw at myself as the game developed. Although, to be honest, when I saw the starting 11, I thought, yeah, that's good. That's absolutely right. But maybe there is an argument on afternoons like that, Tom, to put your strongest team out to begin with and make it 3-0 by half time, if you possibly can. I mean, I know that's easy to say in hindsight, but a few issues there. First of all, why do you think Spurs are so toothless on the road at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the team was a pretty good team to pick out. I mean, Andrew would say there wasn't really much chance to rotate. And I think I looked at that 11 and thought actually it was pretty strong. You know, if you think they're playing non-league opposition, the only thing I thought was the front three looked quite light. You know, when you're playing Werner down as a centre forward, I mean, it's not just about his level, and I don't think he is at the level. It's about, you know, what Solanke obviously brings to the whole team. And I think you really saw that, you know, that lack of kind of link-up play and lack of focal point, I thought in a way it was a surprise, I guess, that he didn't go as Solanke. But then equally, you know, Andrew's spoken so much recently about how he's had to play sort of Solanke almost every week. He hasn't been able to bring him off, even when he's kind of had little niggles and knocks. He's had to sort of play him through. So I guess he would say he didn't have any choice. I just thought the front three were really toothless, you know, which is kind of almost the biggest surprise, because you would expect perhaps, you know, there to be kind of some sort of midfield battles and for Tamworth to test you from set pieces and long throws and things at the back. Fine, you know, I would accept all that. But I would expect Johnson to get around the left back more than he did. I would expect Mikey Moore, to be honest, to make more than he did. Although he did come into the game later on in the match, in that first half, I didn't really think he did much. I didn't think Timo Werner did very much at all against his two centre-halves, you know. And these are guys who, you know, Werner, for whatever you think of him, is a German international, you know. He should be doing better, you know, in these kind of situations. So that was the main disappointment for me. I didn't think Archie Gray had his best game after a, you know, a real kind of glittering few weeks where he's taken a lot of praise. I did think he was a bit off it. I agree with Dan. I actually thought a sort of 4G pitch would probably be quite good for Spurs. I sort of, in my head, I've kind of felt like, would you rather be playing on a sort of bobbly, frosty, non-league pitch, or would you rather be playing on a perfect 4G? But ultimately, it actually wasn't like that. It was a bit of an odd 4G pitch where it seemed to bobble. It seemed very slow. So it was a really awkward game. I personally think, I want to say, I don't really think it matters that much in terms of momentum and in terms of the kind of rhythm going into the North London derby. I think we sat here a week ago, and if you'd said to me that Spurs are going to beat Liverpool 1-0 and they're going to scrape through in a slightly humiliating way against Tamworth, I think we all would have signed for that. You know, I think that's a really good week for Tottenham, you know. And yes, it wasn't, you know, a shining win by any means. And by 100%, when whoever it was lining up that shot in the 94th minute, I mean, anything could have happened there. You know, if he'd hit it with some connection into the top corner, you know, Spurs are going out and it's a completely different story. But that wasn't how it was, you know, and they're through. And I really think it is just all about the result in that scenario, you know, like with all the kind of asterisks of what that sort of tie means and what everyone wants it to be, et cetera, I think just getting through and getting on with it and now looking ahead to Arsenal, to be honest, is 90% of the job.
Yep, I would concur with that. I'd also agree with you about the front three. I'd like to give Mikey Moore a little bit of leeway because, of course, he's been on the sidelines for some time. So it was a tricky one for him to come back into. Timo Werner is a centre forward. Well, that's just not going to work. It was interesting to hear Postecoglou say, because Dan, actually, we touched on whether Werner might leave the club in January. And Postecoglou said, I don't want anyone to leave at the moment. That was before the game. He might have changed his mind after that. And Johnson, I mean, he scored again and his goal scoring record is excellent. But I have to say, and we are being relatively positive about just about everyone at the moment, I have to say, I feel he's gone just a little bit backwards in the last few weeks. I mean, yes, he'll take chances and he is capable of driving down a flank and either getting on the end of a cross or delivering one. But would you agree? Do you think maybe he's not quite as sharp as he was a couple of months ago?
I think he's not on the same hot streak he was a couple of months ago, but I still think at the moment there's much bigger problems than Brendan Johnson, obviously. I think for me, it comes down to the makeup of the front three, really. We saw it in the Rangers game as well, when it was Son, Werner and Johnson. you just can't play kind of those that and Werner. Moore is a pretty similar profile to Son, really. I just don't think you can play the profile of those three players together. The ball just keeps coming back at you. There's no kind of ability to hold it up. There's no one to kind of play on the last man and link play. And the Rangers game should have been a kind of lesson, I think, to everyone that it just doesn't work. That was obviously the game when Werner was hooked at halftime and then Ange gave him, what did he say it was, constructive feedback or rather than criticism, I think it was the term he used. And it was a pretty similar performance from the front three, I thought, on Sunday, really. So I hope that's the last time we see Werner and Johnson without a proper centre forward, because I'm not sure that that setup's really going to ever bear fruit, no matter who the opposition is.
Yeah, Andrews is going to have to answer a lot of questions if he does that again. He's obviously made it clear he wants another striker before the end of January. We touched on a few names the other day. Nothing concrete has emerged as yet. I wonder, will Richarlison be able to play some part in the North London derby on Wednesday? That would be a timely return. I heard one stat that Pedro Porro gave the ball away 45 times. I don't know if that's the case. At least he was trying. And I just want to mention again, Jed Spence for the third goal. Guys, did you see the cool manner in which he dealt with his defensive duties at the back, then started the move, burst forward to play in the cross that ultimately led to the third goal? And it was just reinforcing what Dan and I, Tom, were saying. And I imagine you concur that, that Spence just is ice cool. We were thinking of different adjectives. He's serene. He's majestic. He never appears to have, you know, any concerns as to what's going on around him. And I just thought that was another wonderful little example of what he's already bringing on a consistent basis.
Yeah, and it struck me that he was sort of part of the real infantry treble substitution, you know, at the beginning of extra time when Ange kind of was basically like, all right, we actually really need to get this job done now, brought on Son, Kulusevski and Spence, you know. I don't, you know, I guess maybe some of that is just sort of a, just, you know, part and parcel of the fact that he had five subs and Spence was probably the last sort of senior player that had to come on. But it did strike me that, you know, if you're bringing on three players who Ange really wanted to kind of sew the game up, that now Spence is in that kind of company, I almost think, that where you're bringing on a real sort of a player who does make a big difference now, you know, and he does, you know, everything you said there is true. Like, it's defensively, he's much more reliable than he was, but on the ball, you trust him in any situation. There was one moment against Liverpool where he had the ball on the touchline, and I think he was surrounded by two or three Liverpool players, and someone was right up behind him. And he was just happy just to kind of stand them off, you know, just to kind of hold them off whilst he looked around for options. There was no panic. There's no sense of urgency almost that he's about to, you know, be under pressure. He is, as you say, absolutely ice cool. And I thought Porro had a poor game, I have to say. I thought down the right side, Spurs really struggled with Johnson and Porro. They both were really erratic all game, I thought. And I don't know. I think if Spurs have all their players fit and firing right now, Udogi as well, there's a question mark as to who would you take out of those three on the right and the left. I think Spence is right there in the conversation. He's probably first out of those three at the moment. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. I thought he had another good game.
Well, it's just about first on the team sheet. I cannot confirm that stat about Porro giving the ball away 45 times. It does sound an awful lot, but he definitely gave it away a fair few times. And again, I was saying that Mikey Moore has just come back, so we shouldn't be too harsh on him. And Porro, well, he seems to play every minute of every game. The poor guy is probably knackered, and he was still endeavouring to give his all. And one other thing I'd like to say, actually, Archie Gray didn't have his best game, but I don't know if you heard his interview afterwards. I thought he came over so well. I mean, this guy is 18, but he's got charm. He was saying all the right things. He gave his boots away in the crowd at the end. So, okay, not the best of games, but just to reinforce what we were saying last time out, we've got these really, really talented youngsters, and Bergvall had his moments. I thought Bissouma actually worked extremely hard too. He's almost going under the radar, Dan, a bit, Bissouma, but I've really liked what I have seen from him. And we know he's been walking a little bit of a precipice almost for the whole season after that business with the laughing gas and everything else. And you have to go all the way back to before he got sent off at Luton, wasn't it, last season for his run of really good performances. But I think he's close to his very best again. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think the Tamworth game was an interesting one in that because the quality of the opposition and because of the poorness of the pitch, you could kind of see who the best technical players in the Spurs side were. They were the players that kind of looked the most comfortable with the ball at their feet and looked like they had the most time. And I thought Maddison in the first half, albeit he faded, looked very good on the ball. And I thought Bissouma throughout looked very good on the ball. And it's not really a surprise that, you know, we know they're technically very good players. They're very gifted players. I'm not going to kind of sit here after Bissouma played 90 minutes in a 0-0 draw with a non-league side, which Spurs won after extra time, and say he's back to his best. But I think an interesting period coming up for him, because Bergvall has really established himself as an option in that midfield now. And it wouldn't be a surprise at all if he starts against Arsenal, either in one of the number eight positions, which he played against Liverpool, or at number six, which he played against Newcastle and Southampton. And then obviously Bentancur, we expected to have him back. He's out again now for a couple of weeks. Won't be available, we don't think, until I think the Hoffenheim game in the Europa League, because it's his second concussion of the season. So that's, you know, there's another loss in midfield, but he should then be back after that. And, you know, we might be going into the second half of the season with three potential options at number six, whereas for a lot of Ange's two seasons, it's been just Bissouma, really, because Bentancur's been either injured or suspended, and Bergvall wasn't really a first-team option in the first half of the season. So that'll be very, very interesting, because Postecoglou has said a few times, oh, I've always picked Biss when he's fit. That's how much I rate him. But I think we're about to kind of find out how much he does rate Bissouma in the second half of the season.
Well, I'll ask you both in a moment who you think will start at Arsenal on Wednesday. And of course, we've got a goalkeeper who's yet to concede a goal. And, oh, it'd be nice if that's still the case come the end of the 90 minutes at the Emirates. A word about the draw. Aston Villa away, on the face of things, not great. I do notice that Villa have got the most terrible record in the FA Cup. They won just their second tie in 9 years at the weekend, coming from behind to beat West Ham. But Unai Emery has made it very clear that that's one of his priorities. He wants the Villains to have a good cup run. I mean, Spurs, we tend to blow a bit hot and cold, Tom, against them, don't we? But we put four past them at home this season. We put four past them away at Villa Park last season. How would you assess that draw?
I think it's not bad. I mean, my first instinct was it's obviously a tough draw. You don't really want to draw, you know, a top six team in a 64-team draw. So you can't really say it's a good draw. I mean, Spurs have had a really tough run this season, I have to say. You know, you think in the Carabao, they've had to go through United, City, Liverpool, and then they'll face, let's say, Newcastle in the final. You know, I mean, that's a really tough run to the trophy. And then in the FA Cup, okay, maybe it's stretching it, say Tamworth is a tough draw, but I think it's not really the ideal draw, having to go away at Tamworth and then to get Villa away. You know, I think that's a pretty tough collection of sides. So they're not getting it easy. So, yeah, I think it's not a great draw. But once you kind of get past that, I actually think Villa has been a good matchup for Spurs in this in recent times. You know, you can go back as far as you want, but if you look at Postecoglou's Tottenham against Emery's Villa, I think actually Spurs quite like playing against Villa, because the way Emery plays, he kind of is happy to allow opponents to dictate. He quite likes to sort of almost, I wouldn't say sit back, but the way his teams play is he likes to kind of punch on the break and to hit Spurs probably on the counter. Where I think it allows Tottenham to sort of dominate the game. I think if they're up for it and they have players back, which we assume they will do, I actually think I would give them a good chance of getting through. So it's obviously a tough draw, but I don't think it's a nightmare draw.
And it's going to be, Tom and Dan, it's going to be at a critical stage in the season. We have seen how in the space of 3 days, Arsenal have all but gone out of the League Cup and gone out of the FA Cup. And early in February, we'll go to Liverpool on the Thursday night, and then we will go to Aston Villa, I presume, on the Sunday for that tie. So, I mean, the season, it really could rest to a large degree on those 3 or 4 days. Are you as confident as Tom, Dan, that Tottenham can get a result at Villa Park?
Well, as you pointed out at the top, I think Spurs have put four past Villa in their last two meetings. The one before that, the other one that Postecoglou has taken charge of was that strange 2-1 defeat at home, where I suppose really battered Villa for most of the game, but somehow lost. It was at the start of last season's injury crisis, and I think they had Lo Celso in midfield, and it was a pretty patched up team. But Spurs deserve to win it. So it does feel like, I don't want to tempt fate, but Postecoglou's kind of got Emery's number, or at least knows how to beat his Villa side and knows where they're weak. So I do have some optimism. I mean, yeah, as you said, that's a massive week and a massive stage of the season. I guess a lot will depend on the strength of Spurs' squad and which players are back. I mean, if, as forecast, Van de Ven, Davis and Romero are all fit, and Bentancur, as I just mentioned, is back, then, and perhaps there's a new signing in, and just talked in the last week about wanting a new forward. So, you know, if all of those things come together, then I would give Spurs a good chance of progressing in both cup competitions, given the advantage they've got over Liverpool. But we just don't know, and it's been very hard to kind of be optimistic about on the injury front this season, because every time you think someone's coming back, someone else gets injured, and that was the kind of case last year as well. So so let's wait and see. But it's a good 3 weeks off or a month off. But I'm kind of always optimistic. I think it's much better way to look ahead.
Glum pessimism. You know what, Dan? Just have another 15 years of being a Spurs fan like me, and you'll realise that optimism just doesn't work. Wednesday night. Now, is this the perfect time, Tom, to go to Arsenal? They just got beaten at home by Newcastle. They've got beaten at home by Manchester United. Poor old Kai Havertz is having a mare. Saka is out. When Wery, whatever his name is out as well. Is this good, or are they going to be so up for it after those two defeats that we're going to face the wrath of Khan?
I think it's as good a time to face Arsenal as there has been in a long time. I think Arsenal have been for a while now, have been a really kind of, you know, solid, difficult team to beat. Obviously, we know they're so good at set pieces. They've been a top two or three team now for the last two or three years. And yet, I think in this moment, they are going through a real difficult period where, okay, Spurs are suffering from, you know, a lot of injuries. Arsenal are suffering from one or two really key injuries, you know, and you think how much what Saka brings to that team, I think just as much, if you know, not more than what Odegaard and what they missed when Odegaard was injured earlier this season. You know, they're now really lacking penetration. They're lacking confidence, I think, in front of goal. There's been such a huge narrative now about how Arsenal create loads of chances but can't score. They haven't got a finisher who can be a killer in the box. Kai Havertz against Man United, we saw, you know, really looked like he was struggling for rhythm and for confidence as well. Jesus, who looked like the one player who had a bit of form and rhythm, now injured as well. Nanieri's injured. Obviously, there's Ben White, who's already injured. You know, I think they are suffering at the moment, Arsenal, and they are in this kind of moment where the fans are starting to sort of question the summer business they did in the transfer market. I don't know if they're questioning Arteta, but I think they're sort of wondering whether or not they can take this final step. And there is this sort of sense of doubt, I think, at the moment, you know. And I don't actually think it's necessarily a bad game to be playing at the Emirates for that reason, you know, because I think there is this certain kind of anxiety and nervousness at the moment. The Emirates just hasn't been there for the last couple of years. You know, the Emirates has been a almost slightly sort of nauseatingly unified place for the last couple of seasons. And at the moment, you know, the new anthem and, you know, Arteta and all the fans and the singing section, et cetera, you know, it's all been, you know, extremely sort of happy and glorious. And at the moment, it's not quite like that. You know, I think Spurs, it's funny, isn't it? Because two or three weeks ago, you would have looked at this game and you wouldn't have given Tottenham really a prayer, you know, where they were in terms of confidence, momentum and injuries. And just in the last week, you know, I think the win over Liverpool, scrubbing the sort of Tamworth thing and the way Arsenal have had their last two or three performances and results, I actually think Spurs go there with a decent chance. And I think it's a good time. You know, I still think Arsenal are favourites. I still think they could win this game quite comfortably if, you know, given where Spurs are. And we have to look at the defence that Tottenham have. I still think Arsenal are favourites. You know, I don't think anyone could be hugely disappointed if Spurs go there and lose, given the current situations. But I think it is a good time to go and play Arsenal. I really do. And I think if they go there and they can just keep the game sort of tight and keep it sort of stay in it for the first sort of half an hour, first half, you know, I think then they can make a contest of it. You know, don't give Arsenal a sort of big confidence boost in the first 20 minutes by gifting them a goal, you know, and try and get the crowd sort of into the match. I think Spurs have got a good chance.
Yeah, I just hope that if they do lose, they lose with gusto and we don't have a repeat of a 1-0 defeat such as the one we saw at Crystal Palace and at Bournemouth. Yeah. And of course, as we've mentioned, they didn't score for a long time at Tamworth on Sunday. And Dan, the other thing that it reminds me a bit of the game at Tottenham earlier this season when Arsenal were without, if my memory is correct, Rice and Odegaard. And so Spurs were kind of installed as favourites. Everyone said, oh, yes, it's a very, very good time for Tottenham to play Arsenal. And of course, we lost. So, yeah, what's your hunch as to how it's going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a really different moment for both clubs. I mean, I agree with everything Tom said. I think he's put it really well. I think, you know, it is a very good moment to play Arsenal. They're really struggling to put the ball in the back of the net. It kind of feels a bit similar to the way Spurs started this season and the way Spurs were in parts of last season when they were getting in lots of good positions, but there was just kind of no cutting edge and no confidence in front of goal and too often making the wrong decision. And it just kind of, you're watching them and it just kind of feels inevitable that they're not going to score and the opposition is going to score. Well, that's certainly how I felt when I was watching them against Newcastle. So, yeah, I think, you know, if they don't win this game, they don't beat Spurs, and particularly if they lose, you know, you're probably looking at it being their worst week for, what, 3 years, 3.5 years? So, you know, that clearly says that this is not a bad time to play them. But, you know, it from a Spurs point of view, we've got to say, you know, it could have come a couple of weeks later and then they'd have a defence back. And, you know, it's still Archie Gray at centre-half, Dragosin at centre-half, Jed Spence at left-back, an exhausted Porro at right-back, and Kinski, who has looked great, but, you know, we haven't seen a lot of yet. So there is still that. But I think it does feel like Spurs have kind of entered a different phase of their injury crisis for me. You know, throughout this kind of bleak midwinter, as you put it last time, Postecoglou has been saying, you know, we're going to come out of this stronger and we're going to learn so much and, you know, this is going to test us, but we're going to be better for it. And, you know, in the kind of particularly bleak moments, it's been quite hard to believe that. And then there were some green shoots, I thought, against Newcastle. Then, you know, this big win against Liverpool that did feel like a bit of a turning point. Okay, perhaps we can write off Tamworth. But, you know, it's felt like we are seeing, you know, huge growth in Archie Gray and Bergvall. We are seeing, you know, glimpses of Dragosin's best. Spence has emerged. Solanke's growing with every game. Kulusevski's growing with every game. So I suppose feeling in a different moment. They're still in the injury crisis. You know, Richarlison should be back on the bench. Moore should be on the bench and ready to come on. So they've got a few more options in the front third, but it's still really depleted at the back. Bentancur will be missing. So it's not like Postecoglou's got loads of options. But yeah, it feels like there's been a little bit of a turn. And so, yeah, once again, I'll finish an answer by saying I live in optimism.
Such a lovely place to be, Dan. You mentioned your five at the back. I'm assuming that we'll go with Son and Solanke and Kulusevski to start up front. So the one remaining question for both of you to answer is the midfield three. Lots of Bs to choose from. Maddison will be desperate to really catch the eye in a high-profile game. So, Tom, I mean, I've been just shoving names down here. You have Bissouma and Bergvall and Sarr, Maddison. I mean, it's quite a nice option in a way. Who's your midfield three, Tommy, eh?
Well, in the match earlier in the season, it was also that game where everyone sort of had a bit of a gasp in the press room when you saw the lineup, because he went with Maddison and Kulusevski and Bentancur, I think, in the midfield three. And there was this idea, oh, maybe he'll play a slightly more sort of, you know, physical midfield. But he didn't. He obviously went with the sort of two flary number eights. Will he do that again in a similar way with sort of Bergvall? Bissouma. I assume the fact that Maddison played 90 minutes and stayed on against Tamworth suggests to me that he won't start. I would imagine it would be Saar, Bissouma, Bergvall, maybe as a sort of midfield three.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that with 100% confidence.
It's just nice that
picks itself, doesn't it? Really, five does as well.
It's nice that he's got a choice. At least he's got a bit of a choice, a proper choice again, in some areas at least.
I mean, I don't think he will, but I think Kulusevski could play midfield. I'm surprised you two both think it's a banker because he's played midfield more often than in the front three this season. But I do think in the big games, and this is a one in the eye for the Postecoglou can never adapt crowd, but you know he has tended to play Kulusevski back in the front three for the biggest games, City away, Liverpool last weekend, because I think that adds more presence and he can almost become an extra midfielder and help out there. I mean, I don't think Maddison's going to start. I mean, I sort of feel for him, and maybe I'm wrong because he did score two against City and he likes playing Arsenal, but I think it's going to be Saar, Bissouma and Bergvall probably in midfield and then Kulusevski. I mean,
also Johnson played 100 and he played the whole lot, didn't he? 120 minutes.
So he did. So
he's not going to play in that front three.
Yeah, I think Johnson's the kind of sub you probably want for this game as well. Johnson and Maddison to come off the bench. Although Maddison was kind of rarely that effective from the bench, but I think it's probably more likely.
Well, listen, as long as Timo Werner doesn't start as centre forward, I don't think he can get too many other things that wrong. It's going to be hopefully an exciting night. Is there anything else you boys wish to mention before we go and gear ourselves up for that?
I mean, one interesting thing is that Liverpool play first. They play on Tuesday night away at Forest, which is a difficult match. And I wonder if the atmosphere at the Emirates might be slightly set by what happens there. You know, I mean, if Liverpool go there and win, they'll be 9 points ahead at kickoff, you know, and Spurs will have the opportunity basically. I mean, if Arsenal are 9 points behind Liverpool and Liverpool have a game in hand, you know, with kind of 15 games left or whatever it will be, I mean, that's a long way back, you know. Whereas if Liverpool go to Forest and slip up and it's a draw, or even if they lose against a really informed Forest team, you can imagine the Emirates will be bouncing and they'll be, you know, really sniffing a chance to kind of get back in the title race. So I think that is one factor as well. The Maddison thing is fascinating, really. You know, it's still there, lingering on. And I think Andrew's answer a week or so, two ago, to Tom B's question about why he wasn't playing more regularly was convincing at the time, where he kind of said, well, look, in midfield, we actually do have options and it's given me the chance to sort of rest and rotate a bit, which I guess you could buy to some extent. And it's sort of consistent with what he said before about Maddison, where he basically says that we need him to be 100% physically right all the time, because that's when he's at his best. And if he's not physically fresh and energetic, then he basically isn't, you know, good enough to play in our midfield. But you have to say that starting him and playing him for 90 against Tamworth, he's not picking him in the big moments anymore. You know, he's not picking him in the kind of the sort of matches. He's not picking him like he picks Kulusevski, for example. You know, he's not picking him like he picks Solanke. You know, these are his real kind of lieutenants right now. And it's an interesting question, you know, in this second half of the season, whether or not Maddison can kind of find a way back into this sort of to being a key player again for Ange, because at the moment he clearly isn't.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if there is something bubbling around under the surface that we'll eventually discover. Well, if anyone does, it'll be one of you guys or Tom B, who hopefully will be back next time we reconvene to reflect on the Arsenal game. And you know what? I've been so unprofessional. Is it Everton away at the weekend? I've been so caught up in what's happened that it's Everton away, which is possibly not the best time to be going there, with a bit of manager bounce and David Moyes back in control. But let's worry about one thing at a time. Tom Allnutt of The Times, thank you very much indeed. Dan, often known as Danny Kilpatrick of The Standard, living in his world of optimism. Thank you very much indeed. I'm Marcus Buckland. Come on, you Spurs.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.